Nahu, Mikey P, Mike Probozzi back. Another Harness Players podcast. And we're cracking these out every week now. We have been for several weeks. I think this is the 10th week now that we've been going here with the regular shows here. And Fraser's starting to wrap up. We have another Fraser Down segment. And who better than the guy that did the first Fraser Down segment, a man who's very, very tied in to Western Canada racing, one of the best gamblers that I know for sure, Mr. Murray Slaw. Welcome.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Happy to be on with you again and talk some Fraser Downs.
And you're busy calling races at Century. How's things going up there?
It's been, you know, our only struggle really has been the weather. It's been going pretty well. We started March 16th with just one day a week. And we've just had like a pretty tough spring here in Calgary. Every time it started to get nice and it would dry and, you know, things would dry out and everyone would think it's spring, then it would snow 20 to 25 centimeters. There's a good metric Canadian reference for you, but it would snow a lot and just set us back. And like, you know, then the track has a bunch of snow on it. It freezes, it thaws, all those kind of challenges. We've only canceled one day so far, so that's good. But I know, you know, it's been a bit of a challenge with the track conditions and that. But now it's finally looks like it's, you know, last weekend we had sunny skies. We had 2 days of racing, Friday and Saturday. And it was great, you know, good to get the 2 days in and just kind of get the meet ramping up. So we race Fridays at 2:15 Mountain, which is 4:15 Eastern. And on Saturdays, we race at 12:45 here, which is 2:45 Eastern. And yeah, hopefully people can tune in. Shark Week race last week, fastest standard bred of course ever in Western Canada, and he, you know, won easily in 52-2, but it's always great to see him go around. I don't know if you saw that race, Mike.
Yeah, I saw that. That was getting a lot of buzz on Twitter, so I had to check that out. And that horse is quite amazing, actually. And
he's a phenomenal, probably, you know, I would say now for me the best horse I've seen live. You know, I saw some pretty good ones back in the day that Keith Clark had, like As Promised, and That'll Be Me, who won a Breeders' Crown. I mean, these are horses that are before your time, but it's hard for me not to say Shark Week's the best when you can rip off a 49-2 at Century Downs and, you know, win, you know, 25 straight races, and he's not racing against slouches either. There's some pretty nice horses out here. He's a phenomenal horse, and it's fun to watch him go, you know.
Yeah, that's great. And to have him I'm sure they could take him elsewhere too and he would make plenty of money, but they like keeping him where he's at, and he dominates, right? And you know, that's nice for the people.
I'm kind of surprised they haven't sold him, because we've had some other pretty good horses here, like Codename Cigar Box would be one that comes to mind right away, that, you know, it was pretty dominant for a while for Kelly Horton. Of course he got sold and he's racing for the, you know, the Cullens out in at Woodbine Mohawk Park. That's usually what happens. So yeah, it's kind of unique that he stayed here. Credit to the Hennessys that have kept him here and kept him racing in Western Canada. And it is a little bit different for a horse like that, though.
Yeah, absolutely. He sort of breathes different air, and you know, he's definitely a cool horse, and we'll kind of keep an eye on him the rest of the year. A lot of other things going in the sport. We got, and I'm sure that we'll have Edison, and I think he has Derek Gibner and Ray doing a Yonkers segment this week. Have you been following the Borgata? Have you been following things?
I have not watched the races, so I'm not the best person. I literally have been reading a little bit of the, you know, recaps and previews and stuff that you've had on the newsletter, and that's about it. So I would have to leave the Yonker stuff to those guys for sure. I've been too busy doing my stuff out here.
Yeah, lots of big performances there, especially Line Drive Hanover, Desperate Man sets up for a very interesting final here coming up. And
right, those two horses used to race at Woodbine Mohawk Park, so I'm very familiar with those two. Mm-hmm. And Paul Davies is, one of the he's in the family that owns Desperate Man, and he used to race out here for quite a while. So that's a horse I'm always interested in. But I would like to catch the final, but I haven't seen any of the legs, you know, that have gone so far. Okay. What day is the final, Mike?
So it is next Monday, I believe.
Okay.
So, yeah. So we have a little bit of a lull, but I'll get that exact date for you. Let's see.
I think that they have been going with those horses on Mondays, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I'll get that for you.
Usually I lock in on Mohawk on Mondays, but it's not too hard to watch a couple tracks go back and forth is always good.
Yeah, so they drew it. So it's April 22nd. So that's this Monday coming up.
Monday, right?
Yeah, and they drew it here. I'm looking now. I'll let these guys take care of it. But Line Drive Hanover drew the two, Desperate Man the four. So, and there's some other nice horses in there. Hullabaloo, he won it last year. Duncan drew the eight, so he's going to have to blast off. And, Cover Bridge got the rail. So that's another horse that, had made some noise last year, especially up in
Canada. Yeah, he's kind of a half-mile track specialist, Covered Bridge, right?
And
he's not a big lever, so he'll look for them to mix it up and then probably make his move in the back half, you would think. Interesting. That's an interesting race, yeah.
Yeah, so they're going for 4:57. That's Monday night at Yonkers. And Ray and Derek and Edison will have you covered second half of the show. But we're going to look at Fraser for Friday night, April the 19th. And last week, they had some decent handle. I think they had 308 on Thursday. They had 280 on Friday. Those are big numbers for Fraser. And we want to try to keep that handle up. They got rid of the pick five, which I know you and I liked. We were in favor of that. But they have added an extra pick four. These late pick four pools have been averaging between, I'd say, between $12,000 and $20,000 pools. So good pools for these pick four. So early pick four, late pick four. We're looking at the late pick four. They have 10 on Friday. So we're starting in race seven. And another edition of the Preferred and another edition of the Sunshine Boy versus Army Captain Hanover rivalry, they've been going at each other basically all meet. One, other, both, how are you planning to attack with this first race?
Well, yeah, I mean, ever since Army Captain Hanover came out to Fraser from racing here in Alberta, that was back in February, right? That's seven straight races that the races that he has been in, either he has won or Sunshine Boy has won, right? Seven straight. So even though It'll Be Fine is a pretty nice horse and he's got the rail and he's been against these horses, but he's been finishing second and third against these horses, I have a hard time not just taking 4-5 and surviving the leg. I tend to think Army Captain Hanover might get a little driven a little bit more aggressive this week. Kind of sat back a bit too far last time, six off it at the half, and they only went 56-1. But you can't leave out Sunshine Boy. I mean, he's obviously a super solid horse out there and likely to be on front. So I'm just going to take 4-5 and get through the leg. Mike, this is a pick four that I'm looking to get for at least a dollar and probably more in the range of $4 or $5. I'm not betting a 20-cent ticket into this sequence. I think anyone that does, they're going to get a small return for possibly a small bet. But I'm going to take 4 or 5 here and try to get something a little bit later on that'll make it pay and get it for at least a dollar.
Yeah, I agree. It seems like Army Captain, if he's close enough to Sunshine Boy, he typically can catch him. But last time he was not. He was
exactly
back at the half. And, Sunshine Boy was able to dictate through that third quarter, whereas the race before when he got caught, he had to blast that third quarter in super quick time. So that made a big difference in the race.
Malloy, when he's been able to even come first up against Sunshine Boy with Malloy driving, he's been, well, even with Terrace, he's been pretty tough, right? The key thing is you can't be six back at a 56.5 because then the third quarter goes in 27-3. You gain three lengths, so you've gone a 27 flat third quarter. You're not going to be able to come home 27 again at Fraser and pass him. So he came home 28 and change and he couldn't get there. But yeah, I don't think he sits so far back this time. I mean, even if he sat third, if let's say the one protected the pocket, that would be fine. But you can't sit fifth.
Right. Agree. And some of the others, they just seem to be a little bit outclassed at this point. And, one could maybe jump up and beat these two. But right now, I just think it's one or the other. And right. I typically don't like the double tickets, and you do better not doing that, but it's right. difficult to discern the pace scenario in the race. So I agree. I think just go 4-5, double the ticket, and move on there, and that preferred to start that late pick four on Friday night. Much more competitive race in the eighth race, and this is a five claimer with some also eligibles conditions, and you have to remember the eight is a trailer, so they go seven across. Eight is a trailer. I was just too deep in here. What say you?
I ended up just taking two horses as well. I took the 1 and 3. Really, the only other one I considered, Mike, was the 6, everyone's hero for Kelly Hort. He's been racing in these conditions, and he's won the last couple times out. I'm not a big times guy, but he seems to be
kind of hanging around that 58 and change. I think he could go faster, but from the six hole, anything six or seven at Fraser is pretty tough, especially with the eight being a trailer now. If you leave from out there, you generally get parked. If you take back, it's a tough go. So I ended up narrowing it down to the obvious here as well, 1 and 3. I think they're obvious. I actually kind of don't mind Rick Lancaster driving this one. He's only driven him, and he's the trainer as well, of course. And he's only driven him once. It was back on March 7th, you know, from the rail that day. He rips off a win in 55 and 2. So I think that's a horse you have to include. And the obvious horse is the 3 Keeps Getting Better. This is a horse that all 3 times the entire meet that he's raced for 5,000. He's been a winner when he's tried the 8s. As you could see, he hasn't been as successful, but he's basically, you know, king of the 5 claimers there right now for Dave Hudon. So you obviously have to put in the 3. I went 1 and 3. And again, I'm looking to spread a little bit later in the sequence. And I just kept it to 1 and 3.
Yeah, I have just one different horse here. And I'm not going to use a 1 just because I'm trying to just catch a price. I think the 3 is obvious. I mean, has won right versus these horses 3 out of 4 and lost the race when he had to step up, but had the 7 exactly hole last time, was able to get the front and still dominate. I'm going to try the 8 though. I think, and this is Chase Mink, If You Dare. This horse, yes, had 3 wins last year, as all around it this year, 3 seconds, 2/3, gets that trailing post, gets plenty of speed in the race to chase. And this horse does move forward late, has 23 lifetime wins, and obviously needs a setup, but I think is capable. And you can see that this horse finished 2nd to Keeps Getting Better on March the 21st. So fits with these horses. Obviously needs things to go his way, but with everyone's hero in the race and, you know, with the one in the race who's been willing to blast with the trainer driving, could right get that setup. And then, you know, with that second tier post, all the horse has to do is get a line, you know, something off the gate early to be in touch, could come flying past them. So I'm going to try that one and just, I'll use Keeps Getting Better because he just keeps winning. And
at this level, yeah. Post,
yeah, I think that he's the speed of the speed and it favors him. But I will try the 8 in here also.
What you'll be looking for with the 8 bike is the classic Fraser finish where the horse that stays in, sits like 3rd or 4th and stays in the whole race and does no work, ends up getting up the passing lane. And those horses do win quite a bit. Yeah. And this horse hasn't been winning lately, but like you say, 1 and 3 possibly battling, and maybe they battle with 6. That would be the kind of race where the 8 could come up the passing lane late and win. So that's what you'll be looking for sure. So you got 3 and 8. I have 1 and 3 there. Right.
Yeah, another horse I could see maybe as like a C type is the 2. He's another horse that could maybe benefit from a speed duel. He might not be quite right as good as these horses, and he's won for his last 34.
Racing better lately, but 1 for a million kind of horse that I don't like to use.
Yeah, I don't either. But again, if it does get crazy, he's right another one that's
considered. He could be that kind of horse that sits close and again, gets up the passing lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll move on to race number 9. And again, a little more competitive race here. This is a 20 claimer with some also eligibles. This is your non-winners of 9 or 55,000 life types. They're going for 8,500. So this is a step below like the top class at the racetrack here. This is a nice race. And I was a little deeper here. Where were you at?
This is an excellent race. I really like this race, Mike, and you set it up exactly right. It's just a notch below the preferred. These are the ones that are good horses, but are happy they don't have to race against Sunshine Boy and Army Captain Hanover, right? So you got a good field of 8 here, and this is a race where I took 5 horses, and I'm looking for the kind of thing that you're looking for in the last race by I'm including the 8, but I have 1, 2, 3, 5, 8. I think that Joe Rich will probably be favored. I'll include him, but I don't love him. This horse has been bet down many times and not necessarily won. So, but I got to include him from the rail. Brace for Impact. This horse blasted a huge mile with Robert Scranage in the bike there back on May 29th. He'll be looking to repeat that kind of effort. Obviously, the 3 is a contender, just one off the perfect pocket trip, but in 53, Dave Hudon's horses have been racing great. He's got his training percentage up over 330. He's a live barn. obviously have to include Joe DiMaggio. Kelly put him in for the 20,000 and he was a winner against a good group. And I put in the eight, like I say, for the same kind of thing. You're talking about the last race. Hopefully he sneaks along, they mix it up. And he's had some pace late in some of these races, not a big winner, but I do like the way Loaded Dragon finishes up. So this is where I spread a bit, looking for hopefully get a price to boost things up. And I have 1, 2, 3, 5, and 8.
I agree. It's a good race. I agree on a couple of those. Joe Rich, I don't know what to do with him. He comes from the top barn.
I almost wanted to throw him out myself. I just don't like the horse, but I left him in. I don't think he's...
Last time versus these, yeah.
Yeah, he got parked along. He got parked last time out of the five. So, but even if you throw that one out, I mean, to me, he's had good trips and chances against similar groups and doesn't usually get the job done, especially relative to his odds.
Mm-hmm. Joe DiMaggio's won two in a row and won convincingly last time with a nice steer, perfect trip. Mm-hmm. Could get a similar trip. I don't mind Rum and Raisins also. I noticed you didn't use that one.
No.
That horse raced better last time and has a fair amount of class to him. He's only a four-year-old, won eight times last year, and has the speed to be close. Just needs to finish and probably needs a trip, but I do think he could get ignored. I mean, look, you know, you took half of him, didn't even use this horse.
The reason I didn't is he has to win on the front end. I think like every single race he won in the last 2 years has been on the front end. Mm-hmm. And when he's been getting the front lately, they've been getting by him late. So yeah. I don't see why someone wouldn't be able to get by him today in this good group. That's why I left him out. He definitely has speed, lots of speed. Yeah.
And that's good. The only reason I am using is I thought that maybe he's sort of coming around a little bit. And if you look back, mm-hmm. they did try him from off the pace, especially versus some of the better ones. And he did have a kick in those races. He just wasn't quite good enough. Mm-hmm. He does need to trip out, I agree. But he's one that is classy enough and maybe could be starting to come around, figure it out. So I used him. So I was 1, 4, 5 there in race number 9.
Okay.
Race 10, where this is our closing leg, and this is Condition Claimers, 9,000, shocking, a $9,000 tag in Western Canada. Another nice race, I thought. And this is, again, the 8 trails. We have 8 strong in the race and a dropper. Are you for or against? Are you a crazy?
I ended up, he's the only horse that's dropping in here, right? So I had to decide what to do. What I did for the ticket I'm giving on the podcast here, and definitely what I'm going to play, is I just singled the 7. I'm looking for Dylan James to swoop them like he did 2 starts ago. I'm hoping that the 1, More Monet, is at least, gives the 6 a rip if the 6 does leave. Are You Crazy? Which I think he will. I mean, with Merino Scott Knight, they drop a horse in from nominators of 4 into a 9 condition claimer. They're probably going to leave, right? But the 1 is a kind of have to have the front type. So I'm hoping they mix it up a bit. And certainly the best closer is Dylan James. He just didn't shake loose last time until too late or he would have won. The start before that, he just kind of hung around on the outside and then blew them away in the lane. So I'm going to single the 7 here. I think the logical ones are 1, 6, 7, but there's really, it's not a kind of a sequence where I could take all 3 of them. It's just not going to pay enough, I don't think. So I ended up with the 7 as a single, and I'm going to kind of go against the dropper here. Did you like the 6, Mike?
I do. I've been chasing him for a little while. I mean, I like
him. Well, you got to stick with him now then.
Yeah, I have to against this field. I mean, he's been facing horses like Mr. Moose, Willie Rocket. I mean, Buddy Phil. All those horses are light years better than these horses. Now, the only problem is comes off a 6 scratch. But I just think his kick is just much better than these horses. Even Dylan James, who's raced pretty well. But, I mean, everyone's hero is nothing close to someone like a Mr. Moose or a Willie Rocket.
Either racing gets better. It's just a matter of if he can still kick home like that against these horses or if he was kind of following the faster horses for some of those kicks, right? He's logical on the drop. It's a little scary off the 6 scratch, but certainly Marino knows what he's doing. He's not going to put the horse in to race if he's not ready. So I could see where you're coming from. And if you've been betting him, you got to stick with him here.
Yeah. And a horse I think you could use underneath is the 5, Outlaw Gran Torino. And
this, right. Horse, I like him underneath too.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to be a price. He's going to get ignored. Connections that don't win a whole lot. And this horse is 2 for his last 43. Has only won 6 out of 80 starts lifetime. But I do think the horse could get a little bit of a setup here, and it's probably going to be moving forward late. So I'm not sure that you want him on your picks.
I think the four and five, you could say the same thing about. If you're betting any kind of super or super high five in this race, underneath slots for the four and five, they're both going to be closing late, I think.
That's a good pick four sequence. It starts out a little chalky, but those last three races, I do think, have potential to go a lot of different ways. So get in on that. Remember, Friday night, Fraser, they start at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern. So another great spot in the calendar, and we preach it every week. But and a lot of people are paying attention, obviously, with handle being up. Murray, we're going to wrap soon, but any spot plays?
Yeah, just a quick mention of a spot play here, Mike. I was looking at, I mean, this horse is probably going to be relatively low, but in the second race, I do like the three Outlaw Stay the Course. I think this horse is definitely ready to roll and sitting on a win. And the way I'm going to try to play this race is just bet the try with the three on top and leave the one right out who beat him last time. I just think he got perfect setup, perfect trip, everything. Other than that, he's not usually a big necessarily on the board type. So I'm going to bet some tries with three Outlaw Stay the Course on top in the second. And I'm going to leave the one right out and look for a little bit better paying try that way.
I like it. I'm going to look at race number four. If you look at this race, it's a good race here. And you have Light My Shadow, who's been very good so far this meet, stepping up finally to 12 claimers. Off two straight dominant wins, gets to face horses like Sunset Rider, Mr. Moose, who's been excellent. Willie Rocket is in that race. Also, I'm going to go back to Mr. Moose. You got 5-1 morning line now. I had him at 25-1 on April 5th. Right.
I touted him big time at 3-1. As you know, I needed him bad that day. Yeah. And then he came back and went at 25-1. I'm glad you got a piece of that. That was insane that they let him go off that high.
Yeah, and they bet, Buddy Knox in that race, and he was coming
off. And I know better, yep.
Yeah, and I like him here again. I still think Light My Shadow will take his share of money. There's plenty of speed in here, but I do think that the way he's racing, that I like him. I'm not sure what kind of price you're going to get. I think there's enough horses in the race to take a little bit of money that it should be fair enough. So we'll go back to Mr. Moose in race number four on Friday night. So, all right, Murray, I appreciate always you doing the pod. Tell us again what Century schedule is, where we can find you, where we can find you on Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, yeah, Century Downs, Friday afternoons at 2:15 here, which is 4:15 Eastern, Saturday afternoons, 12:45 here in the West, 2:45 in the East. Go to centurydowns.com. We have free programs on there. I put the link out all the time. Of course, my picks, can't forget, nahupicks.com, my free picks. That's on your website, Mike, with ticket ideas, which I did give out a pick for last week that was alive to the last leg, paying like $300 to $500, but missed the last leg. But I do put out some nice little tickets, you know, $30, $20 type tickets on there. The other factor, the other thing mentioned, of course, on Twitter, I'm at Murray Slough, MurraySlough. That's my name. And you could find me on Twitter at that handle.
I'm very active there, giving out tickets, giving out ideas, showing some big scores. And we always like to see that.
Once in a while. Yep.
All right. So thanks, Murray, for doing the pod. We're going to go to Ray and Edison and Derek for some Yonkers thoughts. Since I lost my mind earlier for Monday night, Borgata final, matchmaker final. Check those guys out. Stay right here.
And thank you very much, Mike Rosie, for talking us through the Fraser action this week there with Murray Slough. And, of course, Mike's been integral in these Yonkers segments. Unfortunately, he's unable to join us for this one. We got a pretty good group assembled. I've got the usual co-host, Ray Catolo. Ray, I think minus one. I think you've done basically all these Borgata Pacing Series shows, so we expect you to be the expert.
Well, the last one wasn't by choice for me to not be here. I just got blacklisted for whatever reason. But, you know, much like my compatriots in the 50s, we'll put McCarthy down. I'm talking about Joe. I like Andy and Todd. They're really nice guys. I'm not talking about them.
Well, we're also going to bring in another great expert here, and that's the editor of the DRF Harness. Derek Givner joins us, and Derek has I've been on the desk hosting the show before at Yonkers in the past. He's got plenty of good Yonkers experience as we kick off this Grand Circuit season.
Yeah, I've done that quite a few times. It's always nice to get out to Yonkers and watch the races there and watched a bunch of replays. So hopefully we can prepare everyone properly for these finals and consolations.
Well, Derek, we'll obviously discuss the finals and the consolations, but obviously this is your first time on with us this spring for this Borgata series. I guess we'll ask, what have been your impressions so far of the preliminaries we've seen of both the Borgata and the Blue Chip Matchmaker?
Well, with the Borgata, obviously, you know, the two horses stick out, and, you know, Desperate Man and Line Drive Hanover basically dominated the series. Entries were down a little bit this year, but, you know, there's ebbs and flows to this and how these horses, you know, enter and which ones enter. And, you know, this year the entries are down. Maybe next year the entries will be up for both series. You just don't know how it's going to pan out. I think the Matchmaker is a little bit more competitive on paper. How about that?
Well, we'll look forward to getting into the racing action and discussing the Pick 5 sequence on Monday, but I'll give the usual commercials here before we start. Obviously, the Yonkers Raceway website, EmpireCityCasino.com, has free racing programs for these Mondays and Fridays. So Monday night here, obviously, for the for this big Borgata Pacing Series final card, we've got the free program there on the website. You can also find the Empire Report put out by the SOA Daily on the website. Plenty of great handicapping information there, giving you good analysis on each and every horse in the field. So definitely a good supplement to your own handicapping. And ADW, preferable for us, is EmpireCityBets.com. You can get up to 8% back on your Yonkers wagers. So a lot of great opportunities there when wagering on the Yonkers card with the ADW. And if there's anything else you need, how about a $10,000 guaranteed Pick 5 pool? That's every Monday night, not just this Monday night at Yonkers Raceway. And especially this Monday, though, we should smash through that guarantee with the great races we have on tap. And the race five is, or the Pick 5 is races 5 through 9. And Monday night, that's the Blue Chip Matchmaker Consolation, the Borgata Consolation, the two big finals, and a conditioned spot for Pacers there on the back end of the sequence. Good full fields and a good sequence, a great-looking sequence for Monday night. So we'll just jump our way right into it. Let's start with the fifth race. It's the Blue Chip Matchmaker Consolation, and Ray Catolo, Racine Bell, was really trying hard to get to this final. Post 7 maybe did her in that last leg, but she does seem to find a pretty good spot here in the Consolation.
Right. Although if you give me a second, this week I decided to do my handicapping on the iPad. So I just need to type in the passcode, which happens to be my social security number. So that that's 5-6-3-2-1-8-5-1-9. Oh, that's why it's not my, it's your social security number, Edison. I just want that out there. That is not my social security number. It's Ed's. That's actually my iPad password. Okay. Oh, well, Now that I have the past performances open,
if I was going to steal somebody's identity, it wouldn't be yours, Ray. But if we're giving mine out there, that could be dangerous.
And you have one of those new fancy iPads that use a 9-digit, you know, password, huh?
It's for extra encryption because sometimes, you know, this little bugger will like just slip out of my hands, and then who knows where it is? Who can pick it up? What information I have on it? So it's nice.
Everyone's dying to figure out what's on your mind.
Well, it's not only what's on my mind, it's what's in my bank account, or also what isn't in my bank account. You're right, Ed. Like, Racine Bell, ever since she went on to Lasix, started to show that maybe she could eke into the final, because she was starting to show that she was able to carry her speed a bit better, not fold as badly as she did in that first preliminary, but she ran out of points. And so, see, she seems like the logical one inside of this race. Same time, though, I don't like in the one race she won when she went back on Lasix. That race was stolen, pretty much. She got that easy first half, only won by a nose to that point against Lee DeRose and Easy to Please. So to me, I don't really think this could be, like, it could be a jog burger for her. I don't know if that's what's on the menu. But I do read into these lines is there's room for some of these other ones to maybe sneak in. Maybe one like Easy to Please, as I just talked about. Her issue, though, is that she comes from off the speed, so she's going to be victim to however the pace materializes. If Racine Bell's able to get an easy lead, then it's going to be more difficult for her to try and close into the proceeding. Same thing for the other one. I'm kind of intrigued by the six man, Don't Forget Me, just because when I look at this race in the Consolation, Racine Bell is the prominent speed. Jive Dancing to the outside is not like super speed, but no one else is going to leave in a $100,000 race. That's the part that really confuses me. So There is an element to this where I think even though there isn't a lot of speed on paper, I feel like if Racine Bell pushes for the lead, she might face more pressure than seemingly the lines on everyone else shows. And that could set up for some of these off the pace types like Easy to Please and Man Don't Forget Me potentially. But I kind of side on Easy to Please, even though she doesn't have the flashy final quarters that the six does. Just because for the most part, she's still able to get into the race and she has some trip excuses in terms of how she's been positioned and shuffled and things like that, resulting in her missing the board and such. Racine Bell's the one to beat. She can be beaten.
Ray, before we move on, you got to do me a favor. Read the ownership line on the one horse and say something positive because we know he's listening.
I love AVF Claire in this race. I just don't think she has a great chance to win, but she is an absolute use in the trifecta and the superfecta because you see that race 3 starts ago when she was able to get third at 40-1. That was probably the only good trip she got in the whole series. Every other race, she's had terrible posts, even though she had post 3 in that one race. Post 3 can be difficult if you're being sandwiched by horses that are faster than you off the wings, and then you have to take back, and then have to get into the race somehow from the backfield. So this is the first time she finally gets a good draw. And that to me says she should hit the ticket.
Yeah. You know, that trip 5 back in the first leg, I mean, she really truly was poised to be second, third, maybe even the winner in that race. I mean, she just had a horrific trip through the stretch. So it's slightly better than it looks, especially those last two posts. So the rail for AVF Claire is a big post change. Derek, how'd you see this first leg of the pick 5?
I'll start with AVF Claire, and I really do think this is a good spot for her. I mean, and I think she has the right driver to, you know, kind of keep her in contention. Brent Holland's known for, you know, being willing to take a shot with a horse, and from the rail, I think this is a really good spot where she could fire out along with Racine Bell and maybe end up sitting a pocket behind her. That'd be a pretty good place to sit. Racine Bell, for my money, is probably better off in this race. I mean, better to be the heavy favorite in a $100,000 race than the fifth or sixth choice in a $270,000 race where you're probably not going to win. I think the race definitely goes to Racine Bell. AVF Claire makes a lot of sense to me. Man, Don't You Forget It makes some sense to me. And so does Treacherous Penny. I could see the driver change to Yannick Junga. You know, sometimes he likes to, you know, fire a horse up when he gets on the horse for the first time. I wouldn't be shocked if Yannick, you know, tried to fire this mare up and see what she has behind the gate.
Ray, I think Derek's trying to rename horses. What did he say for the 6? Man, You Forgot Me. You forgot it. What did he say?
Man, I don't know. I never watched that movie, the Lunch Club, whatever it is about all those kids. I never watched.
It's not Man, Don't Forget Me?
Yeah, it's Man, Don't Forget Me. I forget what you said, but it wasn't that. But either way.
I don't know.
It's okay, Edgar. Can we move on to the next race?
You're not supposed to bring attention to these kind of things. You're just supposed to move on like it didn't happen.
All right, well, we'll move on to the consolation now. And Derek, we'll start with you here. Let's see, the computer spits out, Please Let Me Know was our morning line favorite. Backstreet Shadow, the second choice here. Some Moment Somewhere, the third choice. I don't know, an intriguing morning line. But how we figure out this race?
Hold on, Ed. Let me. I have a more interesting question to ask Derek before we get into the whole race, and it's on the morning line favorite. How do you interpret Please Let Me Know's trajectory through this series? Because I have not been able to wrap my head around what's going on with him.
Okay, I have two parts here. I'll answer your question first, and then I'll get to the second part. I think the horses come through the series pretty nicely. Obviously, you know, a little flat the first couple of starts. They sent them to the Meadowlands to add Lasix because in New York, you can't just add it quickly. So it was easier for them to add it that way, I think.
Okay.
Got Lasix on, raced well. I think last week, if you go back and watch the replay, he really didn't race badly. You know, he went a back half in 53-4. I mean, what do you want from the horse? I mean, you really couldn't expect much more than that. The other horse kind of got the jump on him. And, you know, Venturesome Arden N. Hopefully I said that one right for you. I thought the other horse got the jump on him. I think Kikele choosing this horse over Backstreet Shadow, clearly, you know, because he has the choice of all the Alexander horses is a good plus here. So I think the horse has progressed nicely through the series and is poised for a pretty big effort here. And I really want to know, Edison, who do you think should be the morning line favorite? What do you think the computer went wrong here?
I don't know. I'm not necessarily saying the computer is wrong. I'm just questioning.
Backpedal. Yeah, backpedal, morning line boy.
Well, I don't know. Let me think about this for a second here. I mean, okay, well, first of all, Consolation finally gets back to rail. Fun at the Beach has to be shorter than 8-1, right?
I don't know that that's the case. I mean, those efforts are pretty bad. The 1-2 back, obviously a little bit of a tough trip, you know.
A brutal trip. He took 7-2 action there.
Listen, he's probably going to find some speed from the rail. There's no doubt about that. But that being said, I don't see him as being the favorite in this spot. You know, maybe 4-1, 7-2, you know, but then one of these other horses have to be higher too. You know, because Backstreet Shadow, please let me know, some moment somewhere, also a horse that's going to take some money. Venturesome Artem was super last week. So, I think Leonidas is going to be like, you know, 70-1. Helmsworth will probably be 50-1. So, yeah, those prices will be a little bit higher, but there's only so much money to go around, you know.
Well, I guess that's where my issue comes from is like you said, Fun at the Beach. Let's put him at 4-1 range or something like that. For me, 8-1 morning line, just by default, some of these other numbers, then somebody's got to be, you know, higher than the line, right? Maybe it is some moment somewhere. I don't know. Venturesome Arden, I mean, obviously, everybody was waiting for that trip. They got it. They got their 2-1 on him. So, I mean, does he take more money? Post 7, obviously, isn't ideal for this Consolation. He probably, I guess, is back higher in numbers. I don't know, Ray. I'll throw it back to you. Well, what do you think? I
mean, don't make me. Every time I've been offered, hey, you know how to handicap. You want to do the morning line? No. I don't want to be that guy who is never going to be right and is only going to piss people off. I would rather be the guy who's never right and piss people off on what I do at Oak Grove. Just talking about whatever. It's much safer that way, in all honesty. If you want my opinion, the 4's probably the favorite. I mean, but people bet these driver choices. Kekaley could choose between him and Backstreet Shadow. Backstreet Shadow didn't even race too poorly last week. So, to me, I feel like people are just going to go, well, if Kekaley likes the 4 better, my money's got to like the 4 better.
That's the next thing I was going to say was the deeper I kind of think a little bit further on it, I guess it is probably close to right because correct. Please let me know versus Backstreet Shadow. Personally, on paper, I think I prefer Backstreet Shadow, but if Kaylee's going to drive, please let me know. I think the money's going to reflect that. And I for sure personally prefer This Is the Plan from Post 2 over Some Moment Somewhere just in general. But if Yannick's going to drive the 5 and Dexter's on the 2, I think the money will reflect that. So it's probably pretty close to right. Okay.
All right, glad we got that settled. Now, can we talk about the race itself?
Yeah, Derek, who are you using in the pick 5? Let's get to that part of this.
Well, I'm using the morning line and likely off favorite. Please let me know. He's my top pick in the race. I really, like I said, I like the effort that he put in last week. I think he did everything he could possibly do in that spot. I think that he's still only 5 years old. You know, and most of us now, they think, well, if you don't show up as a 3-year-old, you know, you're done. But some of these horses take a little bit longer to, you know, get into the flow of things. And when you look at some of these horses he's facing, 10-year-old, 9-year-old, 9-year-old, you know, these guys are getting up there in years. And maybe this guy is, you know, in his prime right now. So he's my top pick. I like Some Moments Somewhere as well. Just because I think that he's in the perfect post to work out the best trip. If Yannick decides to gum with him and tries, I don't know that he's going to, but if he does, I think he will get the top. And if he doesn't, he's going to get a trip from one of these good horses to his inside, whether it's Backstreet Shadow or whatever. So those are the two I'm keying in on in my pick 5 ticket. Does Fun at the Beach have a shot? Yeah. Does Backstreet Shadow have a chance? Yeah. I guess even Venturesome Artem has a shot if the race worked out perfect, but this is Yonkers, and it's hard to get involved from post 7. I mean, he certainly isn't getting the trip he got last week, this week. You know,
what
that
kind of
ain't
trip?
Happening.
Oh, I'm sorry. What kind of trip do you think the 4 gets? Is this just kind of a blast off and coast like he did 2 starts ago? Or will he have to take back? Like, which do you think is more likely from this spot?
I think it's more likely he's going to take back. That's okay. Just my gut. My gut says he's not going to cut out. But but he could very well go out. And, you know, is someone going to, you know, take the chance of parking him out? I highly doubt that'll happen.
I agree with that because he's just surrounded by speed. I don't see any universe where Yannick doesn't go with some moment somewhere, even though he only has the one line from off the speed where he was against Desperate Man and Line Drive Hanover and he finished fourth. I still feel like he does his best work when he sits close, just based off of the performances I've seen of him through this series. One question mark to that, though, is he was off last week. So who knows if really he's going to be a spry off the gate or more spry off the gate. You know, that's a horse to horse basis. But if he goes Backstreet Shadow, he can also go. He can take back T-Trick at the very least, knows that this horse is good off a helmet. So if anything, he might pull back. And that would put the four into a spot where he might have to float into a different position. Two's definitely going. One's protecting position. All of this for me to say, I don't know how the four works a trip that wins him this race, unless he's really good.
I don't see how Backstreet Shadow's leaving. To me, he's much better off the helmet. He's definitely coming from off the base.
And did I not just say that?
But I'm saying, doesn't that set up, please let me know nicely, as maybe second over behind Backstreet Shadow if he doesn't leave?
How does Backstreet Shadow get the helmet that he wants if he's first over?
Gets the helmet he wants. I don't like Backstreet Shadow in this
race. You think Backstreet Shadow is going to go first over in this race?
I think he very well might.
Yeah. I feel like Fun at the Beach is more likely to go first over than Backstreet Shadow inside of this race. But I either way, the way that this sets up also like vaguely reminds me of the Borgata last year. Remember, Hellabaloo was in the pocket behind another Burke trainee that was cutting the fractions. And the way that this race could set up does seem similar. Five's going to go. Two's going to go. This is the plan. Has not been racing that badly either. I feel like he might be able to work some kind of pocket trip. In some moment somewhere, if he gets the lead or maybe they scuffle or whatever, one of them is going to be on the front and can carry for a decent bit. At that point, they can either last the rest of the mile because of how things can set up. I don't think the four can really take that much air just yet. He's a horse that I feel down the road, loads of potential. This spot specifically, I would try to beat him. Backstreet Shadow, I think, can work a trip. Even Fun at the Beach, just on this being the consolation and not the big final, I feel he has room to improve. That last race, to me, just reads as you park to a 54 first half the week before. Why do we want to kill you? We don't want to kill you. Just go a trip, get your legs under you. We'll take whatever we get. And here we are. We get a good draw for the consolation, better piece of the pie. He has ability. I don't know why he's been so quirky, unless it's just, you know, the old man syndrome of sometimes I'm feeling good, sometimes I wake up and I can feel the barometric pressure on my knees, whatever that kind of stuff goes. I wouldn't know. I'm only like 24. I'm 1-2-3-5 in the pick five here. I'm heavily against Please Let Me Know. I don't see, unless he's like a truly great horse in his sixth start of the season, how he wins it.
Shouldn't Backstreet Shadow have won last week?
No, because Coach's Corner is a really good horse. I will say, when he popped pocket, he didn't have that same explosive speed off a helmet he usually does. Turning for home, he was a little flat. He kind of got shy and didn't want to pass the horse. But when he straightened, he got better. So he might just not really be good around the turns right now.
I don't know. To me, he should have won that race. I mean, do I think he has a chance in here? Absolutely think he has a chance. Do I like him in here as what's going to be 5-1 or less? Not really.
I can agree with that, but anytime a horse loses to Per Engblom, I just go, we'll give him some slack.
Fair point.
Race 7, the Blue Chip Matchmaker Final. Ray, we're going for $276,200.
Hey, we are? This is huge for me, Ed. This would pay off a lot of things that have been weighing over me most of my life. I'd get my car fixed. I'd pay off my student loans. Maybe I'd get more like medical tests to see if I'm truly dying.
Isn't Joe Biden paying off your student loans?
He said he was going to, but then Clarence Thomas told me to heck off And I would have rather him just be polite and say the actual, you know, profanity. But they're professionals up there. They don't stoop that low, apparently.
All right, Ray, let's get to important stuff here. Race number 7.
My loans are important. They're ruining my life.
Pat LaChance did the rain dance correctly. Yannick Gingras with Coachella Bound took cookies to the race office before the draw. Per Anglom successfully put on the baseball rally cap. Dexter Dunn did everything right. He gets posed for. What happened to my favorite, one of my favorite horses, poor Michaela? What did George Brennan and Nick Drennan do wrong to get post 7 in this final?
This is your favorite horse? Really?
One of my favorites. Yeah, I like Michaela. She's a good hard crying mare. Nice horse.
Okay. This falls into the same vein of your girlfriends. I gotcha. Michaela must be number 35. In this case, though, how does Lee DeRose lose? Especially given the draw, how does she lose? I understand best horse in the race doesn't always win. I'm just seeing many situations from how this race could unfold where she should win. I don't like saying this because it's obvious. She's a morning line favorite. But, I mean, Coachella Bound, I'm not super thrilled with. Tony's Mom I'm intrigued by because she skipped leg 4 and then last week just went kind of a merry-go-round mile to get third in what seemed like a tightener. So I feel like she could step up a little bit, even though after she won in leg 1, she just wasn't super impressive, but you could also attribute that to her whatever issue it was that caused her to miss leg 4, if any. And she'll be a little bit of a price. Doug's Babe usually comes from off the speeder, have to come first over. That's no good on a half like this. In case you didn't know, we'll be starting from the parking lot, so that's really not good for her. Karma Sealster's draw is bad. Michaela's going to blast. She's the pace factor this race. If Brennan took back from this spot, I would quit. I would quit on the spot. I've already come close to quitting in many ways, but that right there, if Brennan did not leave the gate with Michaela, I'd say it's been a great 14 years in this sport. I know nothing.
And wait, you promised right that?
I'm saying I will tread ever so closer to what seems like my true destiny of becoming a mailman, okay?
I'll give George Brennan $276,201 to take back then, if that's what we get.
Thank you for letting everyone know how flush you are after we open the show with your social security number. All of that, I'm just going to pitch it to Derek at this point because Hatter's just going to keep egging me on. How does Lee DeRose lose? Tell me, how does she lose?
Because it's the weekend after Coachella.
Are you Coachella Derek? Are you Derek? I always took you more as a Bonnaroo man anyway. Derek, how does Lee DeRose lose?
I wasn't even going to use Lee DeRose on my ticket.
What?
So clearly we're looking at different races.
What? How has she not been primed for
this
exact moment?
Here's my question for you. Yeah. What trip do you think Lee DeRose is going to get?
I think any trip she gets, she can win. I think
any trip.
First over, off a helmet, goes to the lead. She's a legitimately good mare.
She is a legitimately good mare. She's had a spectacular career. You know she has no stakes wins? Zero?
I don't think that's a fault of her.
I'm just saying. It's just a fact that she has no stakes wins.
At her prime, she was running into Charton and these transcendent mares.
I don't see any way that Lee DeRose isn't first over in this race. And I'm just not betting her for a horse at Yonkers first over in this kind of race. I'm just not going to do it, you know, and if she beats me first over, so be it. You know, I'll tip my cap to Pat LaChance, you know, say congratulations and move on to the next race, you know, but she's coming first over in this race. There's just no doubt in my mind. As you said, Michaela's definitely got to leave. There's no doubt that's happening. I think Coachella Bound is going to gun off the gate a million miles an hour. So, maybe Tony's Mom leaves, who knows? But I just see her first over, and I don't want her first over. They're not going to gift wrap this for her like last week where, you know, she decides the quarter move, and they just say, okay, yeah, go. This is your race. This week is a different week. You know, she's going to have to earn it, and if she can put in that kind of huge mile and earn it, then she beats me. But I won't use her on my tickets. Coachella Bound, I like. You know, show speed, should be in a good position. Michaela, we already mentioned, she's certainly the best horse in the race. You know, if she can, Brennan can work out any kind of a reasonable trip, I think she is the best horse. And I'm kind of intrigued by, in case you didn't know, absolute no shot last time, you know, show some races where she's right there versus this group. And if Mikhail leaves, if Tony's mom leaves, if Litha Rose, you know, forces a hot pace, she could be sitting in a good position. And, you know, it says that we're getting Tim Tietrich this week. I don't know what, you know, Mr. McCarthy did wrong, but, you know, I like Tim Tietrich.
He will be at Oak Grove, I think.
He will be at Oak Grove?
Well, I think.
So he's skipping out on a $276,000 race to drive in a couple of $50,000 races?
You clearly don't understand the prestige of racing at Oak Grove, my friend.
Clearly not. They must give out free donuts and coffee there.
Oh, if you saw the catering we had inside of the Churchill Downs broadcast bunker, which is now breaching $50 million in investment, you would never leave the same way I haven't.
Mm-hmm. In your bunker, your Oak Grove bunker.
The Churchill Downs broadcast bunker, which happens to be for Oak Grove and happens to only be for me, yes.
And it happens to be how many miles away from Oak Grove?
It proximity doesn't matter. I'm still on my off time, you know, fulfilling my hobby of trying to find the Sasquatch. No avail. One time I thought I saw him, but it was a mirror. That was scary. He is, in fact, going to be at Oak Grove for the four-year-old Kentucky Sire Stakes on Monday, along with supposedly Yannick Gingras, David Miller. I don't know if Yannick's going to be. I don't know how he's going to do that. But
Yannick's going to hop on the charter and he's going to head back.
I if I were him, I'd just fly the plane in the race. I think the plane would beat the horses.
You know, but some guys want to hustle more than others, or maybe Yannick doesn't have a drive in one of the late races. I don't know.
I will tell you, with in case you didn't know, I watched that race. I think I bet that race that she was in at Dover on March 6th, and when she left the gate, I thought, Jim Moran's just giving her the good old take her back, give her a mile. This is her first start back as a six-year-old. And the fact that she was able to get second inside of that race was tremendous. So, like, there is ability with her there. But, my God, does she always just work the most confusing trips?
Well, this is the perfect time to work out the right trip, no?
Price-wise, no, I agree. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not super thrilled about seeing the race the way I do, because ultimately it's on the side of the chalk. But I won't attest, if you want to try other horses, like In Case You Didn't Know, or even Tony's Mom, they're probably going to be the right price inside of the race to be profitable. It's just every time my twisted brain looks at it, and from what I've seen of Lita Rose, I feel like this is her time.
Ray, that dinging in the background means that it's time to move on to the big race, or it means my laundry's done drying, one or the other.
I didn't know you did your own laundry. When you have $276,000, don't you pay someone to do that?
Well, I don't have it anymore. I'm giving it to George Brennan to get you off TV. It's gone.
Oh, I see. You're not going to wear clothes anymore. I think that's a bold move.
Race 8, Derek, the MGM Borgata Pacers Series Final, $457,000 in the line. And I'm assuming you're going to give us a logical ticket that's going to include either Line Drive Hanover or Desperate Man, and probably not both. And then we're going to have to go to Ray Catolo, who's going to say, but Leonidas is going to scratch from the consolation. They're giving post 9 in the final, and he's going to come back and win it at 58 trillion to 1. Like, this can't lose, Ed. So Derek, you can start logically first.
How do you know I'm not going to pick Duncan?
Well, if you are, then maybe Ray's a logical one. I don't know. What do you got?
Well, I absolutely think the best horse in the race is Line Drive Hanover, and I'm not going to use him. Okay?
Is he going to be first over too?
He very well might be first over. I just don't like the way this race tactically works out for Line Drive Hanover. I think he's probably going to... He's not the fastest away from the gate. Neither is Desperate Man. If you watch all these replays in these races, you know, neither one of them is gunning off the gate. I 100% think Hullabaloo is going right to the front. Like, he's going to loop them all, in my opinion, to the front. And then you're going to have the merry-go-round of horses trying to brush, you know, Line Drive Hanover, Desperate Man. And I think Line Drive Hanover is probably going to be the first to brush to the lead, you know, make that move. And Desperate Man's going to come second. And either one or two things is going to happen. Either Leandro Ivanov is not going to let him go, which I find that very hard to believe, you know, or he's going to let him go and he's going to end up sitting the pocket. And I wouldn't want to be sitting the pocket on a track with no passing lane in a race going for 457,000. It's not quite that likely that the driver in the lead is going to move over for you. I just see Line Drive Hanover getting into a bad spot. And listen, they don't call zero on the money man for nothing, so maybe he'll figure it out. But I'm against Line Drive Hanover. I'm looking at Desperate Man. I'm looking at Hellblue maybe pulling off, you know, another upset. And, you know, I could even take a positive look on Coach's Corner. I mean, he came home so fast last time. So if Hellblue does make the front, as I say, and Line Drive Hanover brushes and Desperate Man brushes, there's going to be quite a nice flow there. And if this horse is sitting second over and he can kick home a 26-3 again, I don't know. I might not be opposed to having him at 12-1.
Ray, I've been on Line Drive Hanover since Monday, March the 8th. Actually, I've been on Line Drive Hanover since Saturday, March the 10th. Saturday, March 9th. So I'm sticking with Line Drive Hanover.
I'm glad that you're treating handicapping and gambling the same way you would recount like your own sobriety. It's incredibly ironic. And I know you won't think of it like that. I wanted to make note that we call Scott Zero on the money man. If anyone watched the races he won last year, we might want to just start calling him Moses, the way that he was able to part every single freaking seat, especially in that Kentucky Futurity. That Kentucky Futurity, as impressive as it was also just funny that the same thing happened again. That was tremendous. That aside, I mean,
can we make a serious push for that, Ray? I like that idea. I can imagine Ken Worthington, like some big, like in the Hamilton.
And here comes Moses, and half the crowd heart attacks. Oh my God. Now, look, Hellabaloo. Let's remember too. Hellabaloo won this race last year because that same thing happened. The seam opened. He went by, got the gold. Congratulations. My pick five blown up. I was very upset.
And he gets post five again. I think it was post five last year.
But Hellabaloo has always been a horse that you put him on a helmet, he's better. Okay, it's as simple as that. You even watched last. Granted, last week was a preliminary, and it wasn't like everyone was going balls to the walls, even though I know half this field are geldings. Hellabaloo was not making a dent on Line Drive Hanover. He only made a dent because Scott pulled him up pretty much halfway through the stretch. So that's one point. Hellabaloo, I'm not super thrilled by. But I'm in agreement with Derek that this is a tactically confusing race. Line Drive Hanover, every time he's gotten to the lead, has been on a quarter move. He's a floater. He does have some gate speed, but I think it's probably better utilized on the bigger track than it is this one where they start right on the turn. Desperate Man, he has the benefit of being able to go both ways. He could float out and try and push to try and get a lead and then maybe secure a pocket on a brusher. So he is a pace factor as a result. But remember, he won the North America Cup as a three-year-old off a helmet, and he's raced well off a helmet. So Kakaley does have that in his arsenal. Line Drive Hanover, though, given the fact that he isn't the fastest off the gate, I'm in agreement that he could get into a tough spot. But I also know from what I've seen of him in the series, he is a horse that if he goes to the lead and he gets challenged, he might be able to take every challenge. Just kind of sucks because he's going to be a short price and on everyone's tickets. So if I use him along with some other horses, it's not like great value betting wise, but with how the race unfolds, I recognize the game the same way game recognizes game. I Line Drive Hanover, he's convinced me. I think even through trouble, he might be able to persevere. Beyond that, there could be a lot of trouble, though. I just speed wise and however it could set up, for one, I've been impressed with how What Stanley Got can punch. So if he somehow is able to make his one big move at the right time, as he did three starts ago when he went first over, and then even just in some of his other starts when he's been able to get into the mix, I think he's live at a price. I don't think he's as fierce of late speed as Coach's Corner, but he could just get into the right place at the right time, given the post draw, given how things could set up, shuffling, things like that. And as I said, Coach's Corner, he's fast. He has a great punch. He's built for this half-mile track for whatever reason. Last out, he had no reason to swoop the field, and he swooped the field. That tells me enough. You know, beyond that, this is the leading pair at Yonkers. Bartlett leading the driver standings, to my knowledge. Engblom, I know for a fact, leading the training standings. And this guy, he's been knocking on the door all series long, behind Line Drive Hanover, behind Rock and Roll Runa, behind, well, in one race, Backstreet Shadow. But we won't think about that one. He's been getting better. He's a four-year-old too. I think he's just on an upward trajectory. And if things fall apart and Line Drive Hanover isn't able to deliver, I'd be trying to get the three or the six home.
Ray, for the record, Hellblue is the only horse in this field. They're all geldings besides Hellblue. So however you want to factor that in your handicapping, have at it.
Well, as a gambler, I feel like it's good to, you know, have balls, you know, have guts, grit, tenacity. You got to take stands.
Well, Ray, unfortunately, we have learned that you are not eligible for Monday night's ninth race, because race nine is for non-winners of $11,121 in their last five on the pace. You have earned $11,122 in your last five, so you're ineligible, but I don't know. Who do you see winning of the eight that are eligible?
I like that you think I can make that much money.
You know who is eligible for this race? Quality Bud, who made $11,120.
Oh, that, so this one is catered for him, I see.
He was written in, baby.
So I love how some people use that as some kind of like celestial angle of, oh, this race was built for him. They built it from the ground up for him, as if he just didn't miss it by $1 in the race office. Go, we need an 8-horse field. All right, it's one.
And Shine of Lights made over 12,000 in the last five. That's where the also eligible winners in the last start of the non-winners of 7,500 class comes in. So technically two of them written in there.
And I think the four is live in this race. I was just talking about Engblom, Bartlett. They're usually a dynamic duo. It's pretty obvious that they're frequently live in these races at Yonkers. And this guy raced okay at this level two starts ago. That looked like a trip where he just kind of got burdened by the outside draw. And in a lot of his lines, he's just been tasked with trying to get into the mix from post seven and eight. But then when he got a good draw, they just sent him to the lead. He was off 1-5. And that, to me, if they just treated him like the best horse in the race and he coasted there, I think he should be able to handle a move up in class, along with getting a good draw as well. But if he's not able to, I'm not the biggest fan of Under the Southern Sun. This is a horse that's burned me a lot. I mean, you can look why. Last year he was 2-33. This year he's 1-10, 14-111 in his lifetime. So he's one that tends to get there, but not like all the way get there. That's to say he's live, but like just sometimes misses wins and things like that. This is a field, though, where I feel like he's somewhat matched. He does have speed to use. He can somehow work some kind of trip beneficial to him, I feel. And on top of that, he's coming in off of races that aren't obvious. He's making his third start off a 6-scratch from March 19th. He had one start at the Meadowlands, which I just read that as a whatever mile. It was against Similar. That was his first start off a 6-scratch. It was a really fast race. He faltered. Whatever. I don't care. Last out. Had a similar fast pace materialize and then was able to just gain some position, but didn't really gain too many lengths in a 51 mile, finishing fifth behind a nice one, Camara Moment, in, again, a class that's somewhat similar here. So I feel like he made some improvement between that first start back and that second start back. Now he's making his third start back, gets an aggressive driver again in Gingra, who drove him two starts ago. And I've actually driven him in most of his starts now that I look at it. And even though he might be one that's built more for the numbers of five, numbers of 7,500, I don't like most of the other ones in this field. And so I didn't feel comfortable signaling the four. The three was the next one I could extrapolate as maybe like a value use in the pick five.
Derek, I'm sorry for sharing this out loud, but Ray has to know. Ray, I hope you know that Derek is texting me while you're talking in the middle of that last segment. And Derek's saying, please, Ray's got to hurry up. I want to talk about my horses. Taylor Swift's new album comes out in less than 11 hours. I got to prepare for it. So Ray, you know, let Derek talk, so he can go through his Taylor Swift album preparation.
Amazingly, I do know that Taylor Swift is dropping her album, but only because my daughter is like the big-time Swifty. Am I the only one who, you know, Ray starts talking about these horses and you forget which horse he's talking about because he's talking so long?
Yeah. No, me too. Like, that – I've gotten into the. I'm eating a Pop-Tart, by the way. I've gotten into also, the habit.
A lot of people just answered that question at home while listening to that open-ended question that just had those seconds of silence.
I've gotten into the habit because I realize I start talking about a lot of information and I'm trying to assimilate it all at once. And so if you notice when I'm talking, I do this at Oak Grove also. I say the horse's name maybe like 3 or 4 times a sentence. Because not only is it for them, it's also for me because I can so easily start tangenting onto some other facet of the race because there's so much to break down. Derek, you know, there's so much to break down. A harness race isn't just you send 8 animals onto a track and they go whoop-de-doo. You know, there are quantum mechanics involved. There's centripetal force. There's laws of physics that have been invented for over 2,000 years that are at play. That's a lot to digest.
Sometimes I think we do too much thinking when it comes to these races. You could sit there and I can analyze a race for an hour, watch every replay, blah, 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 and then come to a conclusion. And it's not as good as of a conclusion as I could have come to in 30 seconds looking at the race. So.
But Derek, the more that I can think about the race as a complex puzzle, the less I have to think about the fact that in 80 years, I'm going to be dead. Maybe even 50. Who knows?
With technology nowadays, maybe you will be alive.
Well, we'll see if I outlast the sun.
Maybe I can leave some money in my will to put you in a cryo chamber or something so you can come back later.
With my luck, that would just be a chamber that makes me cry, doesn't freeze me.
That's great. Anyway, race number 9, Shine a Light. Clearly the horse to beat in this field. There's no doubt in my mind of that. I do like Yo AJ a little bit, you know, 8-hole last time in a higher class, now moving to the rail. I expect you're going to see some early speed here. Won 3 races over the track last year. I think 8-1 on the morning line seems kind of, you know, high to me. So I'm 1-4 in this race.
All right. Well, Regatolo, give us that pick 5 ticket. Give us the winning combination. Maybe you will win $276,200 and you hit the pick 5.
Hold on. You think they're going to bet that much? That would be tremendous if they did. Let's aim higher. I'll win $500,000. How about because this pool is going to be $10 million. Is that a legal issue to say that?
If you put $10 million into it, it will be $10 million. Actually, you probably only have to put $9,900,000 in.
And since I have Hatter's social security number, that should be fairly easy for me. Okay, so my ticket for 50 cents, because it's a 50-cent ticket, right? So it's not 20 cents or anything. This is 50 cent. You still have some room to buy combos, but it's not going to be dilly-dallying, punching combos.
By the time
away.
You give out this ticket, everyone's going to fall asleep. Just give out the ticket.
I'm a question or a statement, but it is a 50-cent wager, yes.
What your brains can't understand, this is a plug to tell you that you have a chance to win more money because less combos can hit. That is the big cerebral game I'm trying to play here. Okay, my 50-cent ticket, which costs more than 50 cents because that's just the minimum. I go 4-6 in leg 1. Leg 2, I'm 1-2-3-5. In leg 3, I'm 1. In leg 4, I'm 2-3-6. In leg 5, I'm 3-4. That, for 50 cents, is $24. That's my ticket.
And Derek?
My ticket couldn't be any different.
Any different?
Any more different than, I mean, like we're like looking at this like, we're looking at 2 different sets of races, I believe. So anyway, my ticket is 3 with, 1-4-5 with, 2-5-7 with, 4-5-6 with, 1-4, and that's a $27 ticket. And I would go so far as to say that in the Borgata, I would play a second ticket with Desperate Man, Keed, because he's clearly going to be the chalkiest of that group and most likely winner of the horses I'm using.
Alrighty, well, similar price points but very different tickets, so hopefully that's insightful to you and your handicapping to hear a couple differing opinions on these races. Again, Monday night, 11 races on tap. Monday, April 22nd at Yonkers Raceway includes the Blue Chip Matchmaker Final, includes the MGM Borgata Pacing Series Final. Great racing card, $10,000 guaranteed pick 5, races 5 through 9. That's the sequence we just talked and gave you tickets for. We wish you the best of luck in your wagering on Monday night at Yonkers, and we will talk to you next time here on the Harness Players Podcast.